This series that I've been preaching on about 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, about the saints, the holy ones, the ones called saints, and the different aspects. And what Peter has done, he begins his first epistle describing what we are as Christian saints, hopeful sojourners, tested believers, and today we're going to talk about being holy children. Our hope in Christ's second coming, which actually is the word that means revelation, he's being revealed. Our hope in Christ's second coming undergirds all of these different descriptions about being saints of God. And verse 13, we see this. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, we have grace right now, but we're going to be even more when Jesus comes back. Well, these are more than descriptions. They are actually, if you look at the word therefore, there's always a reason why these descriptions he's giving. Why is it therefore? You know? Well, this therefore ties our hope in Christ's return to our lifestyle now. How are we living? Prepare your minds for action. I like that translation. Prepare your minds for action. And one of the kinds of action is among many others, is to be self-controlled, to control ourselves under the power of the Holy Spirit. So to expand on this aspect of our spiritual growth, Peter talking here, he talks to us about being holy children, heirs of a holy father. We know we've sung some of that. We talked about heritage, heirs of a holy father. We progress in holiness as we pursue a holy heritage. It's from God the Father. Pursuing our heritage is actually a way of pursuing our identity. Our identity. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. This is a verse with many negatives in it. If you look, don't conform. Evil desires, ignorance. Those are sort of negative things. Well, listen. Obedience often begins in the negative. Becoming obedient often begins in the negative. It's amazing. We love to hear babies start to talk. Oh, we just get excited. They said their first word. And usually, it's their third word that they learn. If they learn daddy, or they learn mommy, daddy, and then no. You know, we're excited about that, but it's part of their learning. We love them to speak, but one of the first things is a negative. No, you know. And we should have a positive attitude. That's how we should be. We should have a positive, but not always a positive response. And what do I mean? Well, remember back, there used to be bumper stickers. Just say no. You know what that was about? Just say no. It's to teenagers who are being offered drugs. Just say no. You know, there has to be a negative response to that. They were supposed to make that negative response. And Peter sounds a negative note by pointing out our past ignorance. That's also negative. We were ignorant. Well, it's not about our character, ignorant being our character. No, it's not a flaw. It's just a lack of knowledge. It's just that kind of ignorance is just a lack of knowledge. It's in the negative for sure. But there's a proverb, and you've probably heard this. Ignorance is bliss. And you know, sometimes that seems to be the case. I don't know what's going on in the world, and I'm living at peace. Sometimes we just gotta turn off the media so we don't have impinging on our brains all of this negative stuff all the time. Ignorance is bliss. And that works fine. That works fine until a cop pulls you over driving too fast in a place where you didn't know the speed limit. You were ignorant, and that ignorance is not bliss. Well, ignorance can also be frightening and dangerous. You just think about driving a car on at night, pitch dark night, but not pitch dark because you're on a mountain, a treacherous, narrow road on a mountain, and there's a big fog you can't even see in front of you. On your the side of the mountain right there. You know, now that is not good ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. You want to know where you're driving. You want to see things, you know. So it can be a frightening and dangerous thing. Well, Peter also speaks in the negative. He speaks negatively about conforming to evil desires. And all of us, these evil desires all around us, they're in the world, they're advertised now. Evil desires are advertised, and it's becoming, evil desires can actually become acceptable in our world. Well, in our society, giving in to evil desires has become a popular pattern with many people, a pattern of behavior. But we need to maintain a negative attitude towards it. And that's what it says in Romans chapter 12, the first part of verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a lot of negatives, but there's also a positive side. And that positive side is the transformation. The transformation, a renewing, a reprogramming of our mind. Reprogramming of the mind in line with, in sync with the Father's mind. Our Father's attitude. Our Father's way of doing things. His will. Here's what it says in the rest of that verse in Romans 12:2. Then, if you do that, if you have your mind renewed, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We progress in holiness as we pursue this holy heritage. Negatively, we must say no to thought patterns and of a wayward world. I mean, they're all around us. They're impinging on our minds all the time. But we positively, as God's children, we must say yes. We must say yes to godly thinking and to behavior patterns that identify us with our Holy Father. And this is not only just in pursuing our identity, it's also pursuing our calling. And that's what this verse says in verse 15. But just as he who calls you is holy, so be holy in all you do. It's interesting, the word calling. A calling is a choice. It's, the word vocation is actually the word calling. Did you know that? The word vocation is calling. We use it as my job description. You know, what kind of field am I going into? What vocation? Well, it's actually a calling. And it's interesting because it can reflect our relationship with God. Because a vocation is something that we choose. But it's also, it feels like it's sort of chosen us. Have you ever felt that? Like when I got into nursing, it was like that. I feel like I'm sitting right where I'm supposed to be. And I'm not there now. But for that amount of time, that was my vocation, and I had a calling, and I felt like it was calling me. And I did seek God's guidance in it as well. But after God called us to become His children, then behaving as His children is our calling. It's our vocation. We've chosen it as God has chosen us to become His children. But now, it's a calling. It's a vocation. It's something we need to do. So, why are Christians called saints in the Bible? Remember what that word means. It means holy ones. But it's a title. It's a title. It's a name that identifies us. But the name means set apart. Set apart. Because it identifies us with a God who is set apart from everything else in creation, everything else in the universe. And so we are identified as set apart unto Him. We're set apart with God. And that's an amazing thing because we're His children. That's why He's doing that. But saint also means this word holy, to be holy, a holy one, because it calls us to a holy lifestyle. Again, the verse says, be holy in all you do because He who calls you is holy. Well, this is an imperative. This is a command. But it's a command with empowerment. God has given us power to keep this command. In verse 16, it says, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. The power of holiness is not in the imperative. It's not resident in the command. The power to do it, where does it come from? Where does the power, just because God says be holy, do we have the power to do that? We don't in ourselves. You know, try being holy on your own. Just try it. It doesn't work. We have to have something else. And what makes it work? What makes it work? The power is in the eternal and the eternally holy I am. I am. Our God is a personally holy God. Throughout eternity, He is I am. And this is what this verse says. I'm seeing it right here. It says, be holy because I am. I am holy. And we can't be holy without being in a relationship with the great I am, with the great Holy One throughout eternity. In other words, this command, this imperative, can be turned into a statement. A statement that confirms God's relationship to us as a Father. Because I am holy, you can be holy. Why? Because we have a relationship with the I am, with the living God, and He's our Father. Progress in holiness should be the desire of every child of God because that's our heritage. That's our heritage. We inherit it. We're heirs to it through Jesus Christ. Holiness is our identity. Holiness is our calling. And pursuing that identity and that calling means pursuing our Father. Pursuing our Father. Verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. I like that. The translation made it into a poem. Live your life here in reverent fear. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, He taught us to pray that, our Father. It wasn't just a religious formality. It was a fabulous reality. It was a wonderful reality. He wanted us to know that reality through the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 8:15, it says this in the New King James Version, for you did not receive a spirit of bondage to fear. That's the other kind of fear that we want to avoid. We've done a different kind of fear, a fear of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And this word Abba is the word that a child was using in those days for calling his daddy, calling upon his daddy. A real, real close relationship. And most of us have probably had great fathers. I surely did. But some earthly fathers have not been so great. But our Creator is the perfect Father. Our Creator is the perfect Father. He's a Father who's fair. He's fair. He judges each man's work impartially. God shows no favoritism, and because all of us are his favorites. And if we're all his favorites, there are no favorites. You know, he thinks we're all his favorites. I think that's wonderful. He's a father who's far out. Do you like that term, far out? We go to this camp, it's called Camp Farthest Out. In that camp was named before this modern lingo, far out. The word in the modern lingo means it's beyond amazing. It's far out. It's beyond amazing. And as his children, as God's children, we should live here as strangers, foreigners here, separate from worldly ways as God is separate from them. But he's never aloof from those who live on this in this world. He is separate from the world, but he comes into the world. And he wants us to be separate from the world and worldly ways, but not aloof from people and moving in this world and say, oh, I'm not going to get near that. I might get defiled. What did Jesus do? He came right down into this world and he took away the defilement so that we could become holy. But as holy, our dependence isn't on, don't touch this, don't touch that, don't eat this, don't eat that, or you won't be clean. Where does our holiness come from? From the great I Am and our relationship with him. That's where it comes from. We can't be, oh, if you follow this list of holiness rules, you'll be holy. No. No, that's not it. And he's a father. He's a father who's to be feared. Not as an emotional response, but as a behavioral attitude. Live your lives, it says, in reverent fear. Proverbs 16:6 says this in the English Standard Version. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. The fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord has become unpopular in some religious circles. They don't want to say the fear of the Lord. Oh, let's don't say that word, fear. This is not right. When I was a kid, my dad used to tell me, he said, now David, you pray for the fear of the Lord, because then you'll be smart. And then he would quote this verse, and he quoted out of the King James Version, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Life is about growth. Life is about growth. Babies, oh babies, we enjoy them, but we delight to see them starting to crawl, right? You know, and we love toddlers. When we see them take their first step, we love it. Oh, look at them taking their first steps. We love it. And small children, we laugh when they try to copy adults. You know, they try to copy us. Now, teenagers, we would hate it if they stayed stuck in adolescence, wouldn't we? And some of them seem like they do that. They grow out of teenage years into adulthood. They're still in adolescence. We hate that. We want to see growth. And, you know, is God, as a father, less concerned than we are as parents? No. Of course, he's a better father than we could ever be, a better parent than we could ever be. And we, as God's children, as children of the holy God of creation, are meant to grow up. We are meant to progress in holiness by pursuing the holy inheritance bestowed on us by our Heavenly Father. We have a Father to follow, and he is holy. So, because he is the I Am holy, we can be holy too by our relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for being our Father, not just our Creator, not just our God, our Maker, our Designer, but our Father, a close family relationship. We are so grateful. And we ask, Lord God, that we might take this seriously, that you want us to be like you. You want us to follow our heritage. We've inherited from a holy God. Help us to do so through your Holy Spirit and through keeping our eyes upon Jesus, who told us, follow me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.